This is member-supported public radio, Public Radio 90 WNMU, and in a moment we'll bring you today's edition of the Writer's Almanac. But first, I have an in-studio guest with me who is going to have a photography exhibit on display in Marquette in the Oasis Gallery in downtown Marquette, and her name is Kira Seto. And Kira, you first came to the U.S. from France, where you were born and raised.
I came from France and Spain. I was raised half of my childhood in France and the other one in Spain.
Mm-hmm.
And I came to the U.S. to study, and then I stayed.
Okay. And currently, you're teaching Spanish in Madison?
Yes, I teach at the UW-Madison, and I teach advanced composition.
All right. Now, speaking of composition, where did photography come into play in your life?
Photography started since I was born. My mother, in part, besides being a social scientist, was a photographer, professional photographer. Her photography was not very good, but my father was an amateur photographer, and his photographs were amazing. So I was given a camera as soon as I could click, you know, the little boxes.
Oh, great. So you've actually seen all of these changes and the evolution of photography from the old brownies all the way to digital photography now.
Yes, but I'm a little archaic. I only went to digital 2 years ago, and I still battle it. I do it because it's easier when I travel. It's a little less expensive for me, but I still love film.
Does film give you a better, more of a range of options than digital photography?
In terms of the results,
yes.
I can see an image that is film and printed the traditional way versus, say, a digital image printed digitally. There is, in the traditional printing of film, the image isn't flat. You can even see, you know. And when you have a digital image, it's flat.
Mm.
And so I was
okay.
really not wanting to go to digital. But really, that's the way to go. And cameras are so wonderful right now.
All right.
So I've only done it for 2 years.
And continually learning more and more about the work you do as a photographer.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And I'm not very good at Photoshop. I do very little. Because I personally, in my photography, I do not like to modify the images. I want them to be as close as what I saw.
Okay.
And so, yes, with, you know, you shoot raw, you have to make a tiny little adjustment. But if there's an extra foot, an extra hand, I don't want to remove it.
Uh-huh.
I want it to be what I saw.
Now, that's what brings me to my next point, and that is nearly all of your photography is portrait photography, right?
What I love is portraits.
Yes.
And that's what is good. When I'm in Vietnam, I always have requests, people asking me, show us the life of Vietnam. We're interested in seeing what it is. So I will shoot for them, but I don't show those because they're not what I do.
Our listeners are now hearing you say Vietnam and going, well, wait a minute. You're in Madison, Wisconsin. You're French and Spanish by birth and upbringing. But now we're talking about Vietnam. Is that where you do your photography?
Yes, it is.
Why?
In 2005, I went to Hanoi for the first time with a man, Dr. Love, who does breast cancer research in Asia.
Mm-hmm.
And I was part of his breast cancer research data review committee. That was sort of the excuse for my going.
Okay.
And my work there was simply going to see the hospital, finding out what the status of the research. Otherwise, I was free. And so I roamed Hanoi. And one day, I asked myself, Kira, what is wrong with you? I felt like I was home.
Oh.
And yet, I said, Kira, you don't look like people here. You definitely, your body structure is a little bit more like a horse compared to their small bodies. You don't understand the language, and you feel like you belong. And I did. And so ever since then, I go every year.
Wow. Yeah, how much time do you get a chance to spend there
every year? I spend usually 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
Occasionally, I've spent 3 months, but that's a little difficult on marriage, so I end up having to limit it to 2 months.
Okay. And, of course, now that you've moved into the digital photography side of things, yeah, I imagine it's a lot easier to travel just with that camera and a few cards to put those photos
yes,
on.
Yes, well, I still occasionally bring the film camera.
Okay.
But then the film, because I may be in different flights, they have to check it manually, so... because I don't want to go through the security with them.
That's true.
So occasionally I still do.
It's a matter of convenience then.
That's right.
Okay. besides the unfortunately dealing with the flat images that you get from
digital photography. That's right. I have to stop being so narrow-minded.
Well, with the exhibit that's going to be shown in the Oasis Gallery here in Marquette, what are the photos going to be in general? Are they going to be portraits?
They're portraits. Mm-hmm. We've eliminated, I had brought many. We'll eliminate anything. It wasn't a portrait because when I photograph, and I love to photograph, and the reason why the show is called Moments, it is my moment with a person. Mm-hmm. And it is engraved in me. And so this is what I photograph. It's my encounter with that person. Okay. And so it is not travel photography, which I do because people want, but I don't do, it's not travel photography, it's not exotic. I also do not photograph poverty to say, oh, look at how poor people are. No, I try to photograph the beauty of the people that I see. So in a sense, when I have a show, it's really for them. You know, for people mm-hmm. to have a chance to see them. And it can be their physical beauty. It could be the expression. Sometimes it is the loneliness that you see in some mainly children. And so this is my pleasure. It's my moment.
Okay.
With a subject.
It sounds like a very spontaneous act for you.
It is. And people have asked me, because some images occasionally, because of the lines in them, say to me, oh, how long did it take you to get all of this right? And I said, no, it's just in the same way that I write, is that something, I see it and something that blinks. I just, yes, this is it, you know. And sometimes I happen to, we don't speak the same language, I have a photograph of a man. Men usually don't like to be photographed, but a man at his doorway. We actually stood in front of each other, looking, without words, for about mm-hmm. 4 minutes.
Wow.
And I did not want to break the magic of that moment. Mm-hmm. But after a while, I sort of had my camera down, and I pointed, I said, okay. And he nodded yes, and didn't change his position, remained just as our looking at each other had been. So this is the kind of photography I like to do.
Oh, I can only imagine what memories continually come back to you after, as you review your work.
That's right. I had to look at some photographs I hadn't seen for several months to bring here. And I see them. That's why I don't want to alter them. And I'm there. You know, I'm right there with that moment with a person.
Wow. I'm talking with Kira Seto, whose work in portrait photography from Vietnam is being displayed beginning today at the Oasis Gallery in Marquette. And Kira, is there any aspect of this photography that you've avoided, any in technique or in subjects or something, in order to pay more attention to things like portrait photography?
No, I do not set out to say, oh, I have to take portraits. I'm usually in Vietnam, and I'm always in North Vietnam, mm-hmm. from Hanoi up to the China border. I often travel with Vietnamese artists. Our purpose for the travel is different. They're painters. Once there was a photographer, but I'm the photographer. So sometimes they see a beautiful tree, and they point at it, and they want me to take the picture. I'm thinking, I don't like taking pictures of trees, but I occasionally do because it's beautiful and they don't understand why am I not taking beautiful.
Right.
I'm not a beautiful photographer, you know, the one that makes just a beautiful image. It has to mean something to me. But I do, you know, I have done markets, I have done street life just because people have asked me, they say, we'd like you to show some of these. But otherwise, the way it happens, and I will be roaming through a village or in Hanoi, and I get this scene, and I have mm-hmm. to take it. So technically, no professional photographer would probably look at me and say, oh, you know, be real, you have technique.
But doing my images, wrong, in other words.
my images somehow, I believe, have what is required, mm-hmm. but I haven't set it up. People do not pose for me. I do not pay for people to pose for me. It is just, truly, I don't have any other word, the moment. As to my revenue from the photography, I don't keep anything. I do pay for the photographs and the frames and occasionally a little bit of equipment. But I have unofficially adopted a boy in North Vietnam who is now, right now, having, well, no, 12 hours difference, is taking his college entrance exam. And so I have sponsored him unofficially.
Wonderful.
So that's what I use the money for. You know, he needs a computer, laptop right now.
Excellent. Well, I hope it all goes well for your helping that young man. And
yes, he was the only one. He was in Sapa in North Vietnam, where the majority of people are mountain people, the Hmong and Red and Zhao and Red Thai. But he was there, and there was a school called Ocho. If you all of you are interested, it's O-C-H-A-U, mm-hmm. and they always need funds. They house Hmong young people, sometimes 11, 12, up to maybe 22, and they can live there in residence for free. And they have room, they have board, and they get volunteers to teach English. So I volunteered in a school, and my funding was going through the school, but when they decided they wanted the school funded rather than the individual children, then I had to shift away from them and just do my son because I can't afford both.
Of course. But eventually, maybe more revenue comes in from the photography you're
right.
doing, then you can send
That's
it
why I can do both.
To Hotel.
Right.
Hotel. Yes.
They do an amazing job for these young people because many of them would be, school is required now since a few years ago through maybe probably not all the way through high school, but mm-hmm. maybe 10th grade. And these young children would either be still in, you know, in the fields. And so this gives them an opportunity to move on. And with English, they're very fast learners. And so the language English allows them to become tour guides, to have more of a revenue than just working the fields.
Okay. Kira Sito has been my guest in the studio this morning. She's a photographer who currently resides and teaches Spanish in Madison. Who is a French native and is doing a lot of photography from all of her visits to North Vietnam, Hanoi, north to the China border. And much of that portrait photography is going to be on display in Marquette at the Oasis Gallery beginning tonight. Is there a reception this evening?
Yes, please. Mm-hmm. Anyone is welcome. The reception starts at 7.
Okay. Again, at the Oasis Gallery in downtown Marquette. Kira, it's been a pleasure having you here.
Thank you. And thank you for having me.